What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
And today, we're going to be doing another book review. We know you guys love them. We love doing them, too.
Totally.
We're doing The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Hell yeah. By Stephen Covey, or Covey. I'm not really sure, but it's one of those things. And this is something a lot of helpsters have recommended this book, and Taylor's been wanting to especially read this book.
Yes, for a while. I did read this one after reading. I was gifted The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens.
That's right.
In middle school.
Throwback.
That was my first self-help book, which is, you know, just an extension of this one, because they're like, they're not people yet. So let's give them different habits. But I think it's actually pretty similar. But yeah, it did help a lot.
That's awesome.
My grades got better.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've been wanting to read this one for a while as well. We're going to start with a quotable, as we always do. You guys know that. This is from Stephen Covey, the author of the book, Live Out Your Imagination, Not Your History.
Ooh, I like that.
That's good.
The past is the past, people.
Yeah, it is. Stop repeating those patterns.
I like that a
lot. The future is up to you, baby.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about what we're doing today, people. Do you wish you were more effective in life? Maybe you'd like to achieve more at work, or perhaps you'd like to be more loving and a devoted partner.
Barf.
You'll only Some people want that, Taylor. You'll only improve in life if you first change yourself. We are creatures of habit. Our routines define our characters and direct our life paths. What habit changes can help you become more effective? This book focuses on how and why we should work to establish the following habits. 1, being proactive. 2, beginning with an end in mind. 3, putting first things first. 4, thinking win-win. 5, seeking first to understand, then to be understood. 6, synergizing. And 7, sharpening the saw.
Number 7 is just murder.
Yes. You just kill everybody.
Prepare for battle.
You're so exhausted of trying to complete these things. I get a Tony Robbins vibe from this a little bit. You guys feel like we're going to be juiced up afterward?
Who knows? I like, so far, thinking win-win. I do that with most endeavors, you know, like even if things don't go as according to plan, like I've learned something. So I feel like I have that mindset pretty locked down.
Yeah.
And beginning with the end in mind, anytime I'm going to start something, I try to have like a big vision for like what ideally I want to happen. And then I kind of just chunk it down into baby steps.
Yeah. I always begin with an end in mind. Usually in relationships.
I thought you were going to say death. And I'm like, oh no.
No, I went a little softer. It's first thing in the morning. But yeah, no, whenever I start dating somebody, I'm like, let's talk about all the ways this could go poorly. I'm a great time, you guys. I'm so fun.
Something's going on with Taylor right now. She's
I'm really good.
Revved up.
I have tea in this cup.
I can't wait to learn what synergizing means for this person.
I feel like you're going to make it sexual in some way, knowing you.
Well, isn't that like what, you know, most like, you know, big corporations, they'll have the board meetings. We're like, we got to synergize.
Yes. Yes.
It's such a bro-y
corporate word.
Yeah. That's why I think it's like a Tony Robbins vibe.
Perhaps.
It's just like a lot of jumping on baby trampolines. Getting your mind right.
I guess we're about to find out.
Yeah, shadow boxing. This feels like we're the direction we're headed in today.
All right, so habit number one is be proactive and take control of your fate, all right? So don't be a slave to your initial reactions. Instead of just reacting to the world around you, develop habits that help you proactively influence your situation. Ooh, that's hard for me. I'm very reactive. So I've been trying to be better about this lately. Because to me, being proactive is just like, I'm going to make sure I never have to react to anything bad. Like, you know, that's my thinking, but you can't do that. You have to be proactive about your feelings when bad things happen, because they will. Number two, incorporate proactive self-talk. Are you frequently saying things like, it wasn't my fault, or it's out of my hands? This type of self-talk demonstrates a reactive and powerless mindset. Instead, focus on taking responsibility for your life by incorporating an empowered mindset that uses self-talk such as, this is all my fault. I suck. No, I'm joking. I changed it.
Oh, no.
Are you okay
to do this episode today? I'm worried our listeners
I'm coming in hot.
What
I apologize.
What happened before this episode that I haven't heard about yet? Because I feel...
No, I'm good, actually. Everything's great.
If this is you and you're great, I'm
going to do the bit too much. You should use positive self-talk such as, I've decided to, or let's find a solution to this problem. Focus on your circle of influence. Imagine your life viewed within two circles. So circle one is your circle of concern. That represents all the things you're concerned about, ranging from your electricity bill to the threat of nuclear war. Wow. That's a
big
lot.
Big gap.
This circle contains many things that are out of your control. Okay, so that's like worrying. Circle two, the circle of influence, represents all the things you can actually do something about. Proactive people focus on their circle of influence. Proactive people don't waste energy focusing on things they can't control. Take a 30-day proactivity challenge. So whenever you catch yourself blaming someone or something external for a problem you have, remind yourself that the final effect that the issue has on you is influenced by your reaction to it. Mm. Ooh, that's good.
I like that a lot.
That's really good. Be empowered and proactive by exercising the freedom you have in choosing how to respond. Yeah, I love that. That's all. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something I struggle with a lot, is letting go of the fact that it's not even letting go of control because you don't have any. It's letting go of the fact that you can't control a lot of things.
Yeah.
And just taking the place to take control is in how you're going to handle situations, not whether or not they're going to occur.
Letting go of the illusion of control.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I know that's something I've struggled with in this business, because it's easy to go like, oh, I just need all the right people to do all these things for me and see me the right way. And we mentioned it in a recent episode, but I looked at like my biggest, the main things going on in my career right now. And they're pretty much all like things that I said, okay, I'm just going to start doing this and see what happens.
Yep.
You know, Risk of Fury, this podcast, putting out a comedy album last year. It's like, those are things I just was like, okay, that's within my control. And let's just create something and see where it goes. And then it's been really fun, and they've been successful. So that's awesome.
Exactly.
But yeah.
I totally agree with everything you just said. Everything that I'm super happy with in my life has been something that I've just been like, all right, I'm going to do this thing and see where it goes.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a nice thing when you take back your power and you kind of create the life that you want. You're not running on anybody else's times or terms, or, you know, you're only doing stuff that you want to do.
Taking back your power.
Yeah, and then people can kind of come. Like, they see, oh, you started this cool thing. How do I get involved? How can I help you? How can I support you? That kind of thing.
Well, that's attractive, too. And, like, whatever, you know, I know we had, like, our Reiki healer on and all this, the energy stuff of, like, that the universe, quote unquote, can feel when you're being needy, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, when you're being attractive by being like, I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
That's an attractive energy as opposed to like, may I have this? You know, like very Gollum, like, please. Like nobody wants that in any way. And even if you're not actively saying that, I think people can just sense it.
Yeah. You got to play hard to get with the universe.
For sure.
That's what you got to do. You just got to walk around like, I mean, I don't even care really. And they're like, oh my God, here's all the money.
You're so cool. Yeah.
Be my friend.
Yeah.
Well, also when you take control of your own stuff and you start, you know, whatever that means to you, you're more authentic. Because you're just doing the stuff that you're excited about. Where if you're kind of going off of somebody else's guidelines or trying to put yourself in their box, the end result might not be as great because you're not really being you.
That's such a good point.
You
know?
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, and men like a challenge and God is a man. So, you know. Neg him.
Please put that on a t-shirt and sell that after shows. Oh my God. I used to do a joke about that, like, one of my religious coworkers came to one of my shows and she was like, that's like, God's not going to like that. Like, God doesn't like people who talk like that or whatever. And I had the thought, like, I'm just playing hard to get, you know? Yeah. God is a man. Like, I don't want to be all like biggie and shit. Like, you know, a little bit
my
bad
God
girl.
Is a lady.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's nice with a pat from Kelsey.
That's sweet.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, so habit 2, begin with the end in mind. It's crucial to have the desired end firmly in your mind before you start a task. The more exact and realistic the mental picture of the action is, the better its execution will be and the better the results. This is true for both short-term and long-term goals. In the short term, before you start a new project, write down exactly what results you desire and what steps you need to attain those results. In the long term, imagine you are at your funeral. Okay. A little dark.
That took a turn.
Okay. What do you want people to say in your eulogy? For what do you want to be remembered? Write a personal mission statement. Define your own creed, what kind of person you want to be, what you hope to achieve in life, what your basic values and principles are. This document will take time and introspection and several rewrites. Know that this document may evolve and change throughout your life.
Ooh, I like that. Let's write our eulogies right now. What would you like people to say about you?
I just want people to think I'm nice.
That's the funniest thing I have ever heard.
No, that's the last thing I care about. I want what do you want today?
I think this is gonna sound very cheesy. That I was a good listener and
you're so cute.
I tried my best to make an impact and leave the world better than how I found it kind of situation.
A lovely patron of the gentle barn.
Opened up her own gentle barn in her backyard at the age of 65.
A non-pushy vegan.
Reasonable.
What did you say? Vegan positive? Is that what you called me? Yeah. Oh, dude, that is such a funny label. I should totally freaking put that on my Instagram or some shit.
Yeah,
vegan light, Delaney Fisher. No, I don't know. I think just that.
You're a palatable vegan.
Just like impact and hopefully kind to people and was admitted when she was imperfect.
Yeah, you know? She wouldn't eat meat, but wasn't a bitch about it.
Taylor can write my eulogy.
Is this good? If you say anything in that soft voice, it's going to sound great.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, dressed a little weird sometimes, but had the best intentions.
Yes.
Never got a haircut.
Never got a haircut.
Never got a colored professional haircut.
Yeah. Just make your eulogy an ASMR session. Just start tapping on the microphone. What?
What is this? Yeah, just like a bullet point of 10 things. Loved Google Docs. Maybe it is a Google Doc, my eulogy.
Yeah.
That's the format I wanted in. What about you guys?
What about you, Kels? What do you want?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't really prepare for this beforehand. This feels like
you'd
so
be crazy
much pressure.
If you had.
Yeah.
If you pulled out a piece of paper like you were expecting to win an Emmy.
Yeah. It just rolls out onto the floor like a CVS receipt. I really value being a good friend and a good family member. Like being a good, if you're in my life, I want you to love that I'm in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I love the people in my life a lot. So yeah. I would want to be seen as a very good like partner, daughter, friend, that type of a thing. And then I'm like made people laugh and made them happy. I guess.
Aww. That's nice.
That's a really nice one.
Taylor's so nice for you?
Yeah, no, I want people to go up and be like, she changed the game. That is show business. I want all of my ex-husbands there. Like, I fucked up. I didn't appreciate what I had. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. It's so dumb because anytime I do think about, like, eulogies and stuff, I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to be there, so who cares? Like,
right.
You know, but you do also have that, like, legacy thing in your head of, like, I mean, I'm sure we both want to be, like, one of the best comedians.
Of course.
By the time we're in our 40s or whatever, we want to be, like, one of the pillars.
Sure, yeah.
You know, that's always your goal.
Yeah.
And then, I want, you know, I want to all the same things you said. I want to have been like a good daughter and sister and partner and friend and, you know, that I was funny and considerate. And you know, just.
Those are all good things.
I don't know. It is hard to say. It's hard to do
it
your
own eulogy. It does feel cheesy. It just got really real.
Yeah. They're just like, anyway, so we're all going to die. Habit three.
You know what I think is not, I want to say, a better exercise than this, because I think this is helpful, but The Artist Way does one where you write a letter to yourself as your child self, and then you write a letter to yourself as, like, you at 80. Yeah. I love the one from you at 80, because it's like, what would you tell yourself now? What were you proud that you did? What would you have spent less time worrying about shit like that? I think that's good, because you're still alive in this situation to talk to you now.
Yeah, I think that's way better. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And then the one from you as a child, that's like almost a way to foster gratitude for what you have.
Absolutely. It's such a good exercise.
Yeah.
Such a good one.
Yeah.
Because with the eulogy thing, like you said, you can be like, well, I'm not even there, so why does it matter? Right. You know, but I think it's better to do this other one.
Yeah.
I liked it. That was good. Okay.
Yes.
Habit number three, put first things first. Time management is an important aspect of being an effective person. First things first.
Oh, don't you know, Delaney? The worrier with all your time management. This is for you.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously. Oh, my gosh. First things first is a simple and powerful maxim to help you remember how to frame your time management. It requires you first categorize your tasks by priority level, which I do and often fail.
Yeah.
Categorize your task using two dimensions, urgency and importance, creating a 2x2 matrix with 4 quadrants. This sounds like some fun homework, guys. Listen up. Quadrant number 1, urgent and important. This includes crises. Oh, have fun. Quadrant number 2, non-urgent and important. This includes building important relationships, planning your future, etc. Quadrant 3, urgent and non-important. This includes such tasks as answering the phone. Quadrant number 4, non-urgent and non-important. These are generally wastes of time. Okay. So for long-term effectiveness, the most important tasks focus on are those that are in quadrant 2, which is non-urgent and important. This category includes such tasks as writing your personal mission statement. If you focus on completing these types of tasks, you will be proactively preventing crises from emerging, those tasks from quadrant 1. A good first step in implementing this habit, think about a quadrant 2 activity that you've been neglecting, one that would significantly impact your life if you did it well. Commit in writing to doing more of it. So again, quadrant 2 is non-urgent and important. So for me, I immediately think I need to start exercising frequently and start maybe cooking more nutritious food. And like, technically, it could be seen as urgent and important because your health should be urgent.
Right.
But it's not something like I've been diagnosed with something and I got to do. Well, I mean, we could talk about that. That'll be my good shit.
Yeah.
But I haven't been diagnosed with something that I really need to reverse like tomorrow and go hard on it. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
This quadrant thing trips me up a little bit because it's so subjective.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, there's no mayor of urgency that's going to be like, that is urgent, that is not urgent. Like, that's different for everybody. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I like to measure this on, like, does it have a deadline? Like, does it have a deadline? Because if it has a deadline, and if it's, for me, if I'm running, you know, my business, if I've told a customer that their product is going to get there at a certain date, that's urgent and important for me because that's a deadline. But if it's something where like, I really need to revamp my website, that might be important, but not super urgent.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, that could probably wait until I have a little bit free time or, you know, something like that, you know.
I think I'm distracted by the fact that whenever the word quadrant comes in, it just feels like you're unnecessarily overcomplicating it. It's like,
you could just hurts my head.
Yeah, it's like, does it need to be done now? Do that first. Is it going to become something that needs to be done now if you don't do it soon? Do that next. Like, that this quadrant thing is, what are we, astronauts? Come on.
Yeah, like, well, so like, non-urgent and non-important might be like, oh, I need to at some point organize the papers in my drawer. Where it's like, yeah, I guess that could wait.
Yeah.
Maybe it make me feel better. But yeah, like you said, it's kind of different for everybody. Yeah. I just kind of look at like, does this task support my long term, you know, intention or goal? And does this task not? Or can this task be delegated to somebody else? Or is this something that I have to do personally?
Yeah.
Those are some questions I kind of ask myself.
But also, if you have really bad anxiety like I do, sometimes you're just not in a place to handle urgent tasks. And you're like, I'm going to organize my sock drawer to calm down.
I was just, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't like this whole, these are generally wastes of time. Get the fuck off. We're like recovering workaholics. We're trying to tell ourselves it's okay to do things that are quote unquote waste of time.
Yeah.
Let me watch Breaking Bad for the millionth time. Like, let me just sit and fucking enjoy something.
This is triggering for us.
This was, I know, I got all fired up. Tell me what to do. I'm not my real dad.
I have a feeling we don't have any specific examples in here from the book, but I would assume that's something like polishing the paper clips. Probably not something that you really
polishing
need to
the
do.
Paper clips.
You know what I mean?
How did your mind even think of that?
Like, if you're doing that, you need to see a doctor.
Like, not urgent and not important. It doesn't like that would
I mean
really,
that sounds like a compulsion.
That would not matter, right? But again, like some people have
are
to
you
ask
doing
themselves.
That? No. How did you just pulled that out of your ass?
I know that was too weird.
Thinking of the most like meaningless tasks that we can
You
spend
just came up
with
it so quickly. It's like if you're in bed with someone and they're like, I don't know, what if we tried this? And you're like, dear God.
Yeah.
What? They're like, I didn't even think about it. I just suggested it. And you're like, I don't think you did. I think that came from somewhere real.
Just don't do it, you guys. It's not necessary, you know? I think it's like I really like taking breaks to organize things because I find that very calming and relaxing.
Same.
So like I see that as fun time. So some people don't see that as like a fun time or a fun activity.
Right.
So yeah, but no, I mean, if it's something that really just doesn't have to be done and you find yourself like maybe it's part of procrastination or like resistance that you're experiencing because you're afraid to do the thing that you actually want to do, then I think, that's maybe stop doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, habit number 4, think win-win. If you think win-win, you negotiate and communicate with others to find a solution that suits all parties. This builds positive relationships because each interaction strengthens the relationship rather than eroding it. This means your relationships will be more positive and longer lasting overall. A good exercise to start with is to think of an important relationship you have where you'd like to develop a win-win mentality. Put yourself in the shoes of the other party and write down what you believe would constitute a win for them. Write down what results would be a win for you. Approach the other party and discuss the means by which you both can have a mutually satisfying agreement.
I don't think like this at all.
I don't know if I'd whip out an agreement with my friend and be like, listen... Right? Is that what this is?
We both want to win.
Yeah. What do you want from me and what do I want from you? Is that kind of the situation?
Yeah.
How do you bring that up over a brunch?
Again,
you know?
This just feels like it's been overcomplicated to just be like, try to help enter every situation and try to find the win-win solution.
Don't be a selfish twat.
Yeah.
It's like,
that's
the
Spark Note version of that.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know. Right? I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe it does seem so overcomplicated.
I wonder if it's more deciding if the relationship is something that you want to continue, though, too. Like, maybe for some people, writing things out, like, what am I actually getting? Is this person actually filling me up or opposite or depleting me? Maybe that's something to
do. I don't
do,
think it is. I think they're talking about when you're in a relationship with somebody, thinking win-win. But I think that's...
Right. I guess that's just kind of setting expectations like we've talked about before, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're romantically involved with somebody, this is what I expect from you as my partner. And what do you expect from me as your partner? And
yeah. How's everyone going to be happy?
Yeah, yeah. That seems like that's probably figured out from early on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Shall I move on to habit five?
Yes.
Okay. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Develop the skill of empathetic listening. Don't just listen to words. Attend to the feeling, behavior, and meaning behind them. If you learn to listen empathetically, people are more likely to be open to you, and people will likely reciprocate by considering your opinion and advice.
That's an important one.
That is an important one.
Seek first to understand, yes, then to be understood.
Especially in relationships.
Yeah.
I've had to talk about this a lot in therapy, not being so, like, attacky during fights.
And taking everything so personally.
Yeah. Doing more of the, like, I feel this way when you do this thing.
Right, yeah.
Not like,
I like to give a lot of information about my background. To be like, let me set this up for you so you know exactly where I'm coming from.
Yes.
With all my weird idiosyncrasies, you know?
Right.
You're just making it easier for them to empathize with you.
Yeah.
But if you do that and the other person's like, I still don't understand, you're like, oh, okay, well then I have to go.
Yeah.
What else can I say?
What else can I do here?
All right.
Habit number six. Here we go. Synergize. Synergize by treating others with openness and respect. The previous five habits will prepare you for this behavior of effectiveness. Synergy means a situation wherein contributions of many add up to a total that exceeds the combined contributions of the individuals. When people synergize, they listen to each other, put themselves in each other's shoes, use the contributions of others as a springboard to create something great. They're on the same side. They're tackling a shared challenge. They're not fighting each other. See your interactions with others as an adventure. The outcome of an adventure is not completely under your control. This mindset requires openness and self-confidence. Make a list of people you find it difficult to discuss things with. If you were more confident and open-minded, could you find synergies between your perspective and theirs?
I like the outcome of an adventure is not completely under your control.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That is true.
I find myself, as soon as I know somebody's, like, background or history or, you know, childhood stuff, I tend to, I understand why they do certain things.
Yeah,
and
I feel
like I like to know that stuff about people, like, really quickly, so I tend to, like, overshare about my own stuff,
and then
I want to hear all about their stuff.
Yeah.
And so when things kind of pop up, you're like, oh, I totally understand why this person does that. I've also been in, like, situations where I've defended friends from, like, because of interactions or something that were taken the wrong way, and I've been like, oh, you don't understand because this is something that they're dealing with, and, you know, like, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I get why that reaction happened or something. So I always think it's really important. That's why I don't do well with, like, surfacey, how you doing acquaintance conversations, because I'm just like, oh, I'm just so, oh, I'm bored.
Hey, you want to synergize?
Yeah, I need to synergize or else I just like, I don't feel connected.
Hey, one time I showed my tits for a meatball recipe. You ever done anything wacky like that? Hey. Just in an elevator with a stranger like, okay, I'm going to get off on this floor and take the stairs. Thanks. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, and habit number 7, sharpen the saw if you want to keep sawing. So lumberjacks can't always be sawing. They also have to pause to sharpen their saw.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Self-care is essential to lasting effectiveness in your life. So stay physically fit, maintain spiritual health, stay mentally healthy, and take care of your social and emotional health.
Easier said than done.
Yes, it is. To ensure you truly sharpen your saw or maintain your self-care, write down activities that contribute to your well-being in each of the 4 dimensions. Pick 1 activity in each dimension for each week.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like that.
Yeah.
I really like that. Yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. I just, I try to, like, just think about what I need that day, just for a couple minutes. Like, I just kind of check in. I'm not one of those people that does, like, a self-care morning routine to a T every morning. I just can't.
Really?
I can't seem to stick with the same thing over and over. Yeah. I get bored. It feels like more work. Like, it just feels like a chore. So I have to just kind of check in, like, what do I feel like I need right now? Oh, I feel like I need to stretch, or I feel like I need to meditate for a few minutes, or I feel like I need to just go and grab myself a healthy meal. Like, and so I just, it always changes on, like, what do I actually feel like I need?
Like, intuitive.
Yeah, intuitive self-care.
Yeah. Mm. That's why I love doing this podcast, because we all self-care very differently.
Yeah.
So, like, it's... Our listeners hopefully hear one of us doing something like, oh, yeah, that fits for me.
Yeah totally. That makes How sense. Do you guys do it?
Self-care?
Yeah. Do you guys have like a routine that you've been sick? I know, Kelsey, doing like meditation and journaling and stuff, right?
Yeah. Having the planner is actually the reason that I've been able to stick to a morning routine now, because I've incorporated it as part of that day's to-do list.
Yeah.
So it's
good.
Like when I write in my following week, it's like every morning starts with tea and smoothie, meditate, morning pages. And it's just like, I knock those 4 things out. It really doesn't take like long at all. I always built it up in my head to be like, oh, I'm not gonna have time. I have to do this stuff. It's like, if I'm real with myself, I always have 10 minutes to meditate.
Yeah.
I just do.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I feel like it's actually helping.
Yeah.
Like really helping. I was on the road this past weekend in a situation that I'd been having so much anxiety about for like months. It was this college gig and it turned out to be lovely, but just like the travel of it and being kind of in the middle of nowhere by myself was really, really stressing me out. And I was proud. Like I felt like I handled the travel really well this time. And I think
That's awesome.
Because meditating is helping me like self-soothe more and stay more grounded before freaking out. So I think it's helping me. Which is nice.
What about you, Taylor, as far as self-care routine or not routine?
I haven't had a routine lately. I think after you like hit a big like upset in your life, I think like the most important thing you can do, and we'll probably talk about this on a different episode, is like just what you're talking about is being intuitive and kind of learning to listen to yourself again and what you need and what would make you feel good, and thinking things through before you do them, as far as like traveling or, you know, relationships, or even like biting off more than you can chew in whatever sense of the word. I think that's more of what I've been doing lately. It's just like, okay, like, am I sad right now? What do I need to do for that? Am I feeling anxious about this thing? What do I need to do? Am I, you know, feeling ready to go travel and do a weekend of shows? No. All right. I'm going to cancel. Like, just those types of
more
things.
More proactive.
Yeah. More like, instead of getting to that situation and trying to push through and putting yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, I could have taken care of myself instead. Just trying to be, like you said, more proactive about it.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's good.
Yeah. Was there one thing in particular from this book that you guys took away, like something that really impacted you that you feel like you're going to use going forward? Because I feel like that's always the goal when we read a book, especially a self-help book on the podcast. You're like, if I can take even one really strong like nugget of wisdom,
right,
it's a success.
I think the next time you guys come over, you're going to see posters of quadrants all over my home.
Playing Foursquare.
I have a quadrant for every activity I do. That's a really good question. I think a lot of this we've kind of touched on, you know, in other books or other guests and stuff like that.
Yeah, in different ways.
In different ways. You know, yeah. I love all self-improvement books. I will read every single one gladly. But you do notice that after a while, it seems like everybody's saying the same thing, but they're using different words.
Yes.
Because obviously the way that they, their language is going to connect with a different type of person than maybe you are a badass language. Or what, you know, like everybody's different. So I feel like I've implemented a lot of this for me personally already.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Did anything stick out for you?
Yeah, the positive self-talk, I think,
yeah,
is always good to be reminded of.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just to touch on what you were saying, I think self-help is kind of like a religion in that way, where mm-hmm. it's like, it's just the same kind of basic principles over and over, but it's good for us to keep, like, worshiping them or like hearing them and absorbing them. This is like our little church, you know, of like just to be reminded and all that stuff is
it's
good.
I think people, there's so many people who are very anti self-help and self-improvement, and they say stuff like, well, how come everything's not perfect after you read one book? And it's like the same reason you don't get abs after going to the gym one time. You do it every day. It's a daily practice. And I love hearing how everybody explains it differently and the different experiences that worked for them.
So
I would say like all of this was just like good reminders for things that I feel like I've been aware of.
I love the saw analogy. I think that's stood out to me most. That lumberjacks can't always be sawing, they also have to pause to sharpen their saw. I'm like, oh, I've felt real dull sometimes, you know, where it's like I've run myself into the ground and not paused to get back on my feet. So that makes sense. I
would say
it.
The one I'm struggling with the most is working on the thing that's the biggest priority first before a lot of other stuff. I tend to be like, well, I'm just going to get up and do the dishes really quick, and then I'm going to organize the drawer. And then
that's resistance.
And then I have 10 things that I've done, and I'm like, I'm so drained, I don't feel like doing that thing anymore.
Yeah.
So I know that's resistance, and I know I'm being a perfectionist about my projects and stuff, and so I've been really trying to get out of that habit.
Those menial tasks will make you feel productive, but they're without the anxiety of like, I got to organize this drawer perfectly. You know what I mean? That's why I think they're relaxing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Gotta let that go.
Well, that was the book. Hope you guys liked it.
Absolutely.
To help us choose next month's book for the review, send us suggestions at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com or join our Patreon to vote in our Helpster's Choice poll, which is very cool. And you get to pick what we talk about.
Yeah. And we have an iTunes review this episode. This is from Tucker B. I love these women. Listening to them feels like I'm hanging out with friends. They are hilarious and unashamed in their pursuit of better of being better and doing better. Listen, love, and learn.
Aww.
Thank you so much,
Tucker.
That's so sweet. If you haven't left an iTunes review yet, we so appreciate it. So give it a gander, people. And
give it a gander.
Leave some stars. And
give it the old 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You could get featured on the show.
Yes, yes. We got some segments?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Delaney, you said that you had a good shit.
I do have a good shit, you guys. Okay, so I don't know if you remember this. This was a while ago. I told you guys that I went in to see a doctor, and they told me that my thyroid levels were not great. And I was like 3 times above where the average person should be. Mm-hmm. And so basically my doctor told me that I was pretty much on the cusp of hypothyroidism, and I think that's the correct. Oh my god, the thyroid stuff I have been trying to figure out. It is so confusing.
Yeah,
with the T3s and the T4s and we should get somebody on the show to explain this shit.
Yeah. Okay,
simply. But she basically told me, you know, I wanted to have a check in with you in a few months, and if things haven't kind of leveled out, you'll probably need to go on medication just like indefinitely.
Wow.
And so I don't take hearing that lightly. I definitely was basically like, give me some time to just process this, and I'm gonna make a couple changes, and I just kind of want to see where I'm at. And so after that, that's around the time I went plant-based, you know, I adopted the vegan diet again. And then I was going off birth control pill, because right after that appointment, we had Dr. Jolene Brighton on to discuss post-birth control syndrome, which you should definitely listen to that episode if you haven't. And she was talking about how being on birth control for so long can affect your thyroid and your nutrients and all that type of stuff. And so I think I remember asking her on the show, like, I just went off of this. How long do you think I should kind of wait until I get my levels, you know, blood tests and stuff again? And she said about 6 months. So I called my doctor and I said, I'm gonna postpone our 3-month check-in for another 3 months because I'm doing some shit. Don't worry about it. And so I went in last week all of my levels are back to normal. Every single one, dude. And all I did, and again, I'm not saying this works for everybody, but this obviously worked for me. I went plant-based and I went off the birth control pill. That's the only thing I can think of that as far as how I've changed my lifestyle.
Incredible.
So I was really excited to hear that I would not be needing to go on medication. And I know that some people will have to, no matter what kind of, if they're on plant-based and they're off the pill. I know that it's everybody's different, but I'm just very happy about that. I don't, because of my personal experience with Western medicine and holistic medicine, I always try to do holistic first, because my experience, that's what healed me in the past. And I've actually gotten very poor advice from doctors in the past that made me worse. So I always take a pause and see what I can do and then kind of treat it as a last resort.
For sure.
So I'm very happy about that. That's my good shit.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. You have something, Tay?
Sure. I have a defuck that's kind of funny. I feel like I've talked about it on the podcast before, and this is not a knock on my parents. They're very nice. But I think we've talked about how, like, my parents have made comments about my appearance, like, too much, like, as an adult, where they'll be like, you know, where they're like, well, you know, you're beautiful now, like shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
I've spent the weekend, I had San Diego shows, and so I saw my family. And at one point, I ran an errand with my dad, and he turns to me out of nowhere. And he goes, you look great. He's like, did you ever think you'd look like this?
Oh my God.
And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you know, like thin. And I was like,
what?
Dude.
Oh my God.
I know.
And your dad said that?
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I guess I was uncomfortable in high school. And he's like, I know you were. I was like, oh my God. What
he just,
doing?
Just keeps digging.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know how to take it. It's like one of those things where in the moment you're like, this is whatever. And then like 20 minutes later, you're like, huh, okay.
Huh, that's sad. That sunk in a little.
Yeah, I tried to do a joke about it at the Laugh Factory the other night, where I'm just like, I'm so glad to hear that now, when it's too late to do anything. Like, now's when I need to hear that I'm pretty.
I'm already a comedian. Yeah. You already ruined me.
I'm 25. Oh. It's too late.
God damn it.
Can you, like, ever spin that? I'm like, did you ever think you'd be asking me these types of questions as your daughter?
I know. Like, he means well. He really does. He means it as a compliment. Yeah. But yeah, you're just kind of like, all right, well.
Backhanded.
Those
compliment.
Whiplash compliments are so tough. After we talked about the whole oily face, shiny face thing, one of our listeners commented on one of the recent self-helpless videos and was like on Instagram, and was like, now all I can notice is Kelsey's gorgeous, shiny face. And it's like, well, okay. I mean, like,
he did you call
said
you gorgeous.
Gorgeous, that's nice, but also, like, maybe don't say any of the other parts of it. Just don't say that's all you notice now, or the word shiny. Like, and I don't know.
Cut the fat, man.
I'm sure he meant well, but just
funny. Next time, just comment hot face,
hot face,
hot face,
hot face.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, please just comment on a photo of all three of us. Just say hot face.
I'll just
take it as a blanket.
I still get so uncomfortable anytime anyone comments on my appearance or body or anything. Like, even if it's nice, I'm just like, nah, you're not supposed to see me.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my God.
Drink it in.
Yeah.
The nectar of social media.
Yeah. Someone told me that someone like made a comment about my ass to them, and I was just like, can we just not? I just wear something? It probably is.
You
but
do have a great ass though, Taylor.
I know, but
I mean, it's okay to own
I know.
It.
Why does everyone see it? Like, it just, if I don't know. I'm not sure why that makes me uncomfortable, but I'm just like, I'm just a funny blob.
Lean
I want to be funny and nothing else.
Lean in. Enjoy it. I have a couple updates regarding caring what people think about me, which is what we talked about in the worrying episode, is my number one worry.
Everyone likes you and you're cured?
Boy, do I wish. So I was writing in my journal today. It always goes back to my journal and worrying what people think about me. And because I was listening back to the worry episode, and then I wrote in my journal, I'm worried that by opening up about saying I'm worried about what people think about me, that people will now view me as like weak and always in my head.
Oh, oh
so
man.
Now I'm just worried continues. About talking about being worried about what people think about me.
Oh,
I really
man.
Am. I enjoy a nice spiral. Nice spiral slide. So that was just
so
a little
sense,
update.
Though.
And then also we had so Michelle Lee, who came on as the Reiki specialist,
yeah.
I wanted to update you guys that she gave me a Reiki reading,
ooh.
A Reiki experience.
Yeah.
She came over and she was amazing. She's so good at what she does. The problem for me was that I can't like lock my cats out of where we were. So we did it in my bedroom. And if I close the door, they'll scratch. So we just had to let them be in there with me. Uh-huh. And my cats get so excited as soon as somebody's on the ground. I have to lie flat on the ground because they're like, oh, like mom's a cat now. Like, you know, like they just love that energy that you're down there with them. And they would not leave me the fuck alone as we're trying. She's trying to guide me through this very focused meditation.
Yeah.
One of my cats is literally eating my hair. She's raking it with her claws and then munching on it, like trying to make a nest out of it. And then one of my other cats started going through Michelle's bag. So you just hear this crinkling over and over. And I started laughing. I was like, I'm so sorry. I know I'm not supposed to like break the character or whatever we're doing here. But like, I'm sorry. Like, I just can't take this seriously for a second. It's like, she's like, it's okay. Just, you got to try and like, let it go. The cats will calm down eventually. And after the session, part of her reading of how she felt, she's like, yeah, I mean, I definitely can feel your energy of being nervous about what people think about you.
Oh.
And like that you're worried you're not doing it right, or you're worried you look stupid, and that sort of a vibe.
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's a big thing in my life, but also heightened by that you drove out of your way to come give me this free session and my cats are ruining the whole thing. And all I'm thinking about is this girl's probably hating this. Like, I'm ruining it. My cats are ruining it. And she was so zen about it. She's like, honestly, like, it really didn't bother me. I wasn't thinking that much about it. So she just said it was a good reminder to know that when you are feeling self-conscious about something, just to entertain the idea that that person, not only might they not be feeling bothered by it, but they might not even notice it.
Yeah.
So totally. That was just a good reminder.
Totally. I apologize for the same thing after my session, because Maverick was like whining downstairs because we put the gate up so he wouldn't bother me upstairs. And so he was like pawing at the gate and whining, and Cam had his freaking headphones in because he was playing video games. And so I told her, I was like, I wanted to scream downstairs the whole time, like, Cam, take him on a fucking walk. But I didn't. I just sat there and like, okay, maybe he'll shut up, or maybe it's, you know, you're supposed to just drown out the chaos around you.
Yeah.
But dude, it's hard, man. It's hard. But she was like, you know, it's okay. Like, it's easy to find the calm when you're surrounded by silence and stuff, but it's hard to find the calm when you're like stressed out on the freeway. And that's what we want to get you to try to do.
Yeah. Because life
you're
is chaos.
Great, dude.
She
Good
was
job,
amazing.
Michelle.
Can't recommend her enough.
Yeah.
So thanks to Michelle. Let's plug some show dates.
Do it.
Tay, do you have, I have to pull mine up real quick. Do you
when
have
does
yours?
This come out?
That is what I'm double checking on. I believe this comes out on October 7th.
Okay, perfect. So October 10th through the 12th this weekend, I'm at the Tempe Improv in Tempe, Arizona. The 17th through the 19th, I'm at Levity Live in Oxnard, California. October 24th through the 26th, I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. November 1st through the 3rd, I am at the Chicago Improv in Schaumburg, Illinois. Not quite Chicago. But very close. And then I'm going to run my hour, like, two more last times in San Francisco right before November 10th, which is my special taping for Netflix in Portland, Oregon at the Aladdin Theater. Two shows, 5:30 and 8. Please go buy tickets if you're coming. I've gotten so many nice messages from helpsters who are like,
helpsters are
I'm coming out. It's like really cool that people are some people are not
OG
Portland,
Hannah's
like,
going.
Buy plane tickets.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
So
it's so
cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. So cool.
So I'm going to be headlining Comedy Works in Denver, October 13th through the 17th. I know we've got some Denver helpsters. Please come out to that.
Love it.
I'll be headlining Southwestern University outside of Austin, Texas on October 18th. And then I just have like more colleges and clubs coming up. If you go to kelseycook.com and go to the tour tab, you can get tickets there for all that. She is.
Nice. And I will be headlining my bedroom, and Cam will be opening for me. No. I just want to give one of our helpsters a shout out. Shout out to Emma Fitzsimmons. She did the coolest thing. She sent me
a logo that she made for Doing It with Delaney, and I love it. It's fantastic. I have it on everything now, and she just gave that to me as a gift. And so,
that's so nice.
If you have any kind of graphic design needs of any kind, I highly recommend her. Her work is fantastic. Go to efitzsimmons.com. Emma, thank you so much. I freaking love it. You're the bomb. And then I guess, if you want to work with me one-on-one with my creative consulting services, Doing It with Delaney, you can message me on Instagram, and I'll send you the info.
Yes. Also, shout out to all the sweet helpsters who came out to the University of New Hampshire show. Just they were adorable and awesome. So thank you to that.
Cool.
All right. All right, we'll talk to you guys next time.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.
You guys, we love you so much. Thank you for supporting Self Helpless. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook at Self Helpless Podcast. And you can visit selfhelplesspodcast.com for all things Self Helpless. Learn about Patreon and how to sign up. Our merch is there. Information about our Facebook group and how to join. All the episodes you can listen to are on there, a little bit about the show, our individual sites are linked there, and our contact information, email, and P.O. box if you want to send us some love letters. And you can follow us individually as well. I am at Delaney Fisher on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and DelaneyFisher.com, where you can watch my docu-comedy special, Love at First Cousin, for free. And then DicksByDelaney.com if you want to buy some dick mugs.
Sweet. I'm at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, KelseyCook.com for all tour dates and merch. And my album, Savor It, is still available to buy on iTunes. And you can watch Wrists of Fury, my foosball web series that has an episode of Taylor and Delaney on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel.
And I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram, and TTomComedy.com for my Netflix special and all live tour dates.
Sweet. We love you guys
so much.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.